It's been pretty amazing to hear what's happening down in Wilmore, Kentucky, isn't it? Some of you guys heard about that? I doubted that anyone had not heard about that, but I've heard that some people were not aware of what's going on down at Asbury College. So just in case you are among that group, let me kind of catch you up a little bit on what happened. Asbury College is a private Christian college, much like the kind of colleges that David and I went to. We went to Restoration Churches, I think. Asbury's Methodist, maybe? But in colleges like that, they have chapel services through the week. And the students are required to attend a certain percentage of those chapel services. Ours were Tuesday and Friday. David, what were you? Wednesday, okay. Wednesday, which is the same day that that Asbury has it also. So they had one of their normal chapel services on Wednesday, February 8th. Nothing real special about the service. Anything different about it. Nothing over the top. But then something happened afterwards. A small group of the students did not want to leave. So they stayed. And they continued to pray. And they continued to sing songs of praise. And that continued through the whole day. It continued into the evening and even through the night, which I haven't done any research on this, but it made me wonder because our college has had a curfew. You had to be in your dorms, but this continued overnight. I guess the faculty, they were making exceptions, which is awesome to see things like that happen. By Thursday, there were hundreds, so the very next day. Then by Saturday, seating space was limited as it was a packed house. This continued through the whole week, gaining national attention. And as I said, it was just, it's very simple what's going on down there. It's not organized. There is no leader orchestrating it. There's no time limit, obviously. It's been going day and night for over a week and a half now. No one is looking at their watches, you know, hoping that they can get somewhere else or you know, that they've put in their time and now it's done, you know. The sermon was not a revival-style sermon at all. It was just a simple sermon on, from what I understand, on Romans chapter 12 about God's love. It simply became a time of prayer and praise where testimonies were being shared. Confessions were being made, exhortations were being shared, Bible passages are being read out loud. And you guys know me well enough, you know I'm a skeptic by nature. So when something happens like this, I'm like, whoa, I wonder what's really happening down there. And I've got some trusted friends from college, solid church leader friends that were there, and they had videos of it. And their testimony that they wrote about it was amazing to read. And it gave me, it really inspired me to understand that what's going on down there was absolutely real. And all the reports that I've seen through social media, people I don't know, news-type channels that are reporting, as well as these trusted friends of mine, that were there are two words that are consistently showing up in these descriptions, and that is unity and peace. And they said that you just walk in and you just feel it. You feel this unity. You feel this peace. You feel it in the worship. You feel it in the prayers. You feel it in the confessions and the testimonies. And all of that's happening from this unity and this peace that people are feeling through God's presence. I've also heard that there are many other places around the nation. 30 was the last count I saw, but I believe it's more by now, that are doing this, that are joining in and participating. And they're calling it a revival, but it's quite different than what we've heard of you know, an organized revival. It's not an organized thing. It's just prayer and praising. It's just Christians being Christians, you know, worshiping God. And I love hearing about this. And I love hearing that the media has taken to it. You know, it's another thing where we're just a month ago, we had the Damar Hamlin and all the prayer that was going on. And now we have this, and we kind of see at how the media has responded to this and how open-armed they have accepted it and embraced it. And I love hearing that, but It's really no surprise to me, because when our faith is authentic and it's transparent, it speaks volumes. And I've shared that many times here. You guys probably feel like it's a broken record to hear those two words put together in any message that I share, when I share that our faith, our relationship with God, it should be authentic and transparent. And when it is, people are drawn to that. People want that. I've shared with you recently that I believe that we are in the midst of all the current events and all the things that have happened, that we are in a time where our world, our nation right now is ripe for the harvest. And we're getting a chance to see that in real time, evidence that it really is. With all the things that have gone on recently, people are wanting something real, something trusted. True unity, not this false woke unity that's being promoted. True peace, not the promise of some peace where you know there's some hidden agenda that someone's working. One of the takeaways I've read from a few of the articles that have been written, these aren't the articles by friends that I know, but it's been interesting to see it in a couple different articles that have been written by Christian people who have gone to Asbury and observed and listened to the students and listened to those who are flocking to this event from around the world. People are coming from around the world to this event. And they're all reporting that these people really, really wanted to experience God, but they didn't want to go to church to do so because they've experienced so much church hurt. And that's inspiring on one side and also painful on the other. That this Gen Z, the students that have led this, that they've experienced scenes where their parents have experienced hurtful things that have happened in church. And we've had that ourselves. We felt it ourselves. We've experienced it ourselves. And we're still here. But there are many that aren't in church. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we haven't seen a big flocking back from COVID. People have gotten a break from church and they've thought, you know, I'm kind of better off without it. And that's not good. There was a post on Facebook recently about people who stopped going to church because the church hurts. And the comments that followed the post, they were numerous and they were heartbreaking. And they were all the same issues with church. Thankfully, they weren't connecting that with God. A lot of people do that. And thankfully, that is something I've seen, that people have been able to separate the two. I want a relationship with God. And one of those things, it was someone had posted, and don't get any ideas, hunters, but someone posted my tree stand in my church now. I can go there and be with God, and that's what I need. But people need church too. The way that the media has responded to this event, the popularity of this event, it speaks of its reception. Today we're starting a new series, and unlike the series on prayer, where the series on prayer was fully inspired by the events happening there, this series that we're starting today is a series that I had in the works since last year, kind of thinking of leading up to Easter. I wanted to do something along the lines of this series, and so it's been stewing and brewing for quite some time, and then after the series had kind of been laid out, this event happened down in Asbury, and it really speaks to the importance of a series like this, that the awakening or the revival, whatever you want to call it, that started a week and a half, that's continued to go on down there, shows us that people want God, that they're ready for God. And so this series is called I Can Be a Witness. Wait a minute. That's the short version of the title. The long version of the title is, I don't think I can be a witness, drop the first three words. So really the title is, I can be a witness. So why the scenic route? Why the extra words? Because this whole series is about taking out the I don't think part that we attach to being a witness. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do that. Got a few of our Taekwondo students that have been joining us in church on Sunday morning, and our you guys have not met him yet, but Grandmaster Colborne's awesome Christian man. He actually became a big fan of the Revelation series here. So we've had some conversations outside of Taekwondo about that. But one of the things he's shared numerous times is you got to get rid of stinking thinking. And I think that goes along with this series. We got to get rid of stinking thinking. I had a friend in college, weightlifter guy in college, you know, those type mentality guys, you know. And you can tell I'm not a big weightlifter, but man, he was shorter than I was, and he'd bench like 315 or something. So, and his thing, he would always throw it in my face, and it was always, can't, never could. Can't, never could. And I still hear it today, Mr. Rob Campbell. Can't, never could. So we need to think about those things. God has called us to be witnesses. He's called us to be ambassadors to the world, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We've been empowered by his Holy Spirit specifically to be his witnesses, Acts 1:8. To save others by snatching them from the fire, Jude 23. So let's remove some I don't thinks. And transform from being bound in fear by the enemy to being loosed in love for our God's kingdom. Amen? Our first I don't think statement is, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. So what we're going to do is we're going to drop those first three words, just as the initial logo says. So we're going to strike a line there in your bulletins, right? Draw a line in your bulletins there through I don't think. Because the title of the sermon is, I can do it. And then, just for emphasis, it's going to put an exclamation mark there at the end of that. So I can do it. We can get excited about that. Can we do that? Okay, if you can't, then just leave it. Don't put the exclamation. Don't lie. Don't lie in church. But put the exclamation mark on there. Mean it. I can do it. Okay, and then we're going to do one more thing. The top of your bulletin is going to look so messy. Go on to circle the word do or put a line underneath it. Because that's what we're focusing on today is action. Today's not about words. It's not about knowing enough. It's not about motivation. We're going to get to those in this series. But today is simply about action. I don't think I can do it. No, you can. You can do it. You absolutely can be a witness by doing things. You must be a witness. How else is the world around us going to see God if it's not through his people, if it's not through the actions of his people? Do it. You can do it. You can do it. So write this down. My actions testify of my relationship with God long before my mouth ever does. My actions testify of my relationship with God long before my mouth does. People in your circles will be more receptive to your invitation to church if they see that you have a real relationship with God. Now, I say, you know, speak about church hurt. Our church in its current condition is a really, really good place for people to come to. For sure. There's a lot of health here, and that is awesome, and that is something to be celebrated. The feeling people get when they come into our church is a good feeling, and our church can be very instrumental in being a church that can reach those who have a fear of coming to church. And I know this. I know this for a fact. I've heard reports. I asked him for his permission. I didn't ask Mike for his permission. But they both are students from Taekwondo that have come in here. Tim, on his first Sunday, he said, I'll come and I'll be there for one Sunday. I'll do that out of respect for your request. But don't expect me, you know, to be making a habit of it. Is this four Sundays now? Yeah, four Sundays in a row. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Mike's, what, 2 months or so? Yeah? And it's because of everything here is what I hear. And I've heard it consistently from other people that have visited here, but right here are two that have been very, very clear. They felt loved. They felt accepted. You remembered their names. The next week they came back. They love the worship as grassroots. It's not a smoke and light show. I'm not a type A dynamic leader by any means. I've never wanted to be. I'm just not wired that way. I don't lead in ways that can easily be seen or measured because I'm not that, you know, type of leader. I things that I do aren't easy to perceive, and so therefore it's sometimes not easy to perceive that is leadership, but I'm real and authentic. And I'm the same person up here as when I'm alone with you in my office or when we're hanging out at a hockey game or in Taekwondo, wherever. I'm the same if I'm doing a wedding or if I'm doing a loved one's funeral. And I believe that spills out, that authenticity and transparency, that spills out. And it comes with some other things. Sometimes I say things that might have been better if it would have had a filter, you know? Sometimes, you know, that I'll share stories that might be a little personal. I'm authentic. I share with you real things. I'm honest about my struggles, about my shortcomings. And I believe that has been a contributor to what we have here. It's the same, and I spotlight you guys one more time, then I'm done. Maybe one more time. Tim said it was all right that I could tell you guys that I got a chance to perform their marriage this week. We had a Valentine's Day wedding, so you guys can give him another hand for that. Tim's gotten all sorts of attention. His first Sunday here, he was like, don't shine a spotlight on me, don't shine a... So, and I said, is it okay? You know, can I share these things? He said, oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, but it's the same thing as in our Taekwondo school. It has the same, and you guys agree. You walk in and it's the same feeling. It's acceptance. It's a welcoming environment. And that's so, so very important. Because people won't believe a slogan on a, you know, something you hand them or a pamphlet or something on the website or on the sign out front. You know, if we send out a mass mailer at Easter along with all the other churches that send out mass mailers and say, hey, come join us. We're authentic. We're down-to-earth people who really care about each other. It's just going to look like another, you know, mass marketing approach. Everybody wants to say that. Everybody wants to come across that way. No, people are going to see that through each and every one of you. That's how it's going to happen. It's not going to be through some big creative, you know, marketing scheme or it's going to be every one of us living an authentic and transparent life of faith in a real relationship with God. James talks about how Abraham's faith was seen by his actions. James brings up the story of Abraham and Isaac. He says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do. Everyone say do. And not by faith alone. I can do it! Exclamation mark. I can do it. Action. A person is considered righteous by what they do. Our relationship with God is seen by the things that we do. Our convictions are seen by the things that we do. Our principles, our values, our morals are seen by things that we do, and do. Our priorities are seen by what we do. Our actions testify about our relationship with God long before our mouth ever does. What you do matters. Our actions speak with more volume than our words could ever produce. Just ask yourself this question. If I were a mute, well, wait a minute. Let's all ask ourselves. If I wore a mute. Some of you guys, we could deal with that for a little while. Okay, so personally, ask yourself, if I were mute, if I could not speak, if I could not use words to convey and share about my relationship with God, would the people in my circles know that I have a real relationship with God just on my actions? If you took my words away, if you took away the things I said, and it was just on my actions alone, would people know? Would they know? Actions bring our faith to life. If we back up just a few verses, we catch where James was going with this Abraham example. If we back up just a few verses in verse 17, he says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? There we go. The same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, I have faith, or you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Let's write these next little statements down. We're not going to camp out on them or anything, but these will be, they're short enough, you can tweet them out and share them with your friends. But actions make an invisible faith visible. Actions make an invisible faith visible. It gives empirical evidence. It gives reality to something you wouldn't be able to see otherwise. It makes an invisible faith visible. And second thing, very, very, very simple, but something I think we need to reflect on sometimes, is that actions are choices that are seen. Choices happen inside. You don't see them until they become actions. But that's what they are. Actions are choices that are seen. The choices we make in our mind to love God, to worship God, to follow God, to serve Him, those choices are seen in actions. Actions are seen choices. So write this down. Actions of faith reveal our trust and loyalty in ways that words cannot. So we're going to take in another scoop here, another layer. Our actions testify of our relationship with God. And in addition to that, our actions reveal a couple of very important aspects of that relationship in ways that words cannot. Our trust in God is shown through actions. You can say you trust God, but when you live by faith, when you live trusting God, then your actions speak much louder than your words can. When trust is seen and witnessed by others, it communicates clearly where your loyalties lie. We reveal our loyalty to God through our actions. If we say we're dependent on God, that's one thing. But if we live dependent on God, that's another. That's real. That's visual. To live in a way that clearly depicts a dependency on God, a loyalty to God, that speaks in ways that words cannot. In doing this, you build what's called ethos. Ethos. Ethos is where you have the character to back up what you're trying to share. For instance, if I were trying to tell, you guys, if I were a Pepsi salesman, and I were trying to convince you that Pepsi is, what was it when I was young? It's the choice of a new generation, right? It's the younger cola. Pepsi is so, so good, and it's so refreshing. I can't think of another cola I'd rather have other than a Pepsi. Ethos. That's ethos. Actions speak louder than words. You can say you have faith in God. You can say we have a real church. You can say you'll be welcomed in church, but it's when it really happens that it's like, oh, this is real. We're going to get to words. We're going to talk about words next week. But before you, and because words are important. What you say, the content, that is important to have. We're going to get to that. And it's a whole lot simpler than you might think. Before you even get to words, before you ever get to words, actions have to be there. The ethos has to be there. You use words after you've developed credibility through your character. Your actions speak of your loyalty to God in ways that your words cannot. Your actions speak of your trust in God the way that words cannot. I don't think I can do it. Get rid of stinking thinking. Can't, never could. You can do it. You will do it. Trust God. Show it with your actions. And when you do, you will have story after story after story of how you've trusted God and he's come through for you, how you've depended on him and he's listened to your prayers, he's answered your prayers and you've seen something, how you've stepped out in faith and God has blessed your obedience. Show your loyalty to God and you will have stories and stories and stories of your loyalty. Don't just talk about it, but show it. Morals matter. Each of us should have a story after story after story of how we have chosen to remain loyal to God and what has come from that. How we had a choice to derail and step off the narrow road, but we did not. We remained faithful. We remained dedicated to God. We remained loyal. And every time we do that, we have another story and another story and another story. And even the times when we step off the narrow, when we slip, when we slide, and then we return, that's still a story of loyalty. You returned. You were loyal. So I've got some homework for you this week, and it directly connects with next week. So you're going to make sure you do this. So here's your homework. There's no blanks for you, but it is in your bulletin. So anything you need to do to emphasize that, to bring your attention to that, here's your homework. It's pretty easy. Just sit down with a pen and a paper, or a Word document, a Google document, whatever it is, however you want to do to record. And I want you to sit down and take some time. And if it's, you know, something, if it's a Word or like a Google document, you can keep it on your phone and you can return to it through the week, lunch break or something hits you and you're like, oh yeah, then write it down and spend the whole week grabbing and capturing these different stories. And what we're going to do is you're just going to list some stories of your experiences with God that show your trust and your loyalty. So we'll keep it kind of specific there. Stories that talk about your trust and your loyalty. Stories that reveal your relationship with God. So you guys don't have anything to write down, but we're going to hit it. So yeah. So make a list of your stories and experiences with God. So these are stories of how you have chosen to remain loyal. And then so stories of how you've trusted God, which would have been the first one. And then stories about how you have chosen to remain loyal. So those are the categories for your stories right there in your bulletins. So start grabbing those this week, write them down. And then what I want you to do, second part of that, is to attach to each story a reflection of how your relationship with God grew in that experience. I trusted God. What did that do? How did you grow in that experience? I was loyal to God. How did you grow in that experience? What happened between you and your relationship with God because of that event, because of that story? Because our actions testify of our relationship with God. Our actions of trust and loyalty, they speak volumes of our relationship with God. So easy peasy homework. You can do that, right? Yes, I can do it! Exclamation mark. Okay? You can do. I can do it. And then that's going to help a bunch for next week. And then one other little piece of the homework there. Who's missing around me? Because you don't want them to come to church next week and go, oh man, I didn't know about this. Okay? So look around and who's, make a little note in your bulletin. Who's normally sitting near you and they could be absent for a number of different reasons. And reach out to them and contact them and say, hey, you're going to want to get online and listen to the sermon to get ready for next week. We're going to have some exercise. I don't know what he's got up his sleeve, but But we're gonna be anticipating that, hopefully in a good way, right? So there you go. There's your homework. Action is important. The do matters. And I know there's a lot of men, probably most men in here, that have, there's certain parts of us never matured past 12. So when I say the do matters, there's a number of us that are chuckling in our head. But you're going to remember that. You're going to remember that. It matters. It matters. I don't think I can do it. No, you can do it. And it matters that you do it. It matters that you live your faith. Let's write this down. My faith is based on a gospel of action. My faith is based on a gospel of action. Jesus came to earth, action. Jesus healed many, action. Jesus cast out demons, action. Jesus walked on water, he calmed a storm. He fed 5,000 people with a boy's lunch, action, action, action. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed the disciples' feet, and later that night broke bread and poured the wine of the new covenant, and this all happened on the night of his arrest. Action, action. Jesus gave his life on the cross for our sins. Action. Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later. Action. After Jesus ascended into heaven, God sent his Holy Spirit. Action. The church grew in numbers. Action. When I gave my life to Christ, I was baptized into a new birth. Action. And that's just a small list. There are many other things that I could have included in a list like that. Our faith is based in a gospel of action, not just of words. Peter tells his readers of his first letter to prepare their minds for action. Our response to a gospel of action requires action. Let's write this down. An inactive response to this gospel is an active, actively dismisses the nature of the gospel. An inactive response to this gospel of action actively dismisses the nature of the gospel. The gospel is about action. If we're not about action, if we don't act, when we are inactive in our faith, then we've chosen to actively dismiss the character of the gospel we claim to be changed by. Inaction is not neutral. Let's write this down. Inaction is not neutral. Inaction has consequences. And the sad part about this is that we will never see the consequences of our inaction. Because there's no way of comparing what could have been to what is if what is nothing. If what is empty. What we don't do, what we don't affect, what we don't share, if we don't do anything, there will be no results. And no results are just that, they're nothing. How do I know the consequences of my inaction when I have no idea of what would have happened if I would have been active with my faith? You'll never know the souls you could have touched with action when you were inactive. You'll never know it when you've been inactive. But just because you don't know it, that doesn't mean that it is not a real consequence. It absolutely is a real consequence. You'll never know the difference that you could have made in someone's life, in their marriage, in their decision to keep their child or have an abortion, in their drug or alcohol addiction, in their depression that led to suicide, and whether they followed Jesus or not. You will never know the difference you could have made in the lives that you never affected. Inaction has consequences. We just can't see them because they're simply empty. James says faith without action is what? It's dead. That's what it is. When you're inactive, it's nothing. It's dead. It's empty. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't affect anyone. And that's not where any of us want to be. When we claim faith in a gospel of action, yet live with no activity, then it's not just that we've been inactive, is that we have actively dismissed the nature of the gospel. The nature of the gospel. How can we accept the gospel and claim that we've been changed by it and not be active in acting it out, in doing it, in being? Jesus shared a parable about a man who was going on a journey and called his servants to him and entrusted his wealth to them. We're told in this parable that he gave to one 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags of gold. Some of you guys remember this as 5 talents and 2 talents. The new version of the NIV has tried to make it a little more understandable, so it's bags of gold now. So he's left 5 bags of gold to one, 2 to another, and to another he left 1 bag of gold. We catch up on this story in Matthew 25. It says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. When the master returned, he commented on the first 2. You put my money to work, and you received it drew interest. It grew. You put it to work and it grew. But he condemned the one who dug a hole and buried his 1 bag of money. In verse 26, it says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And we know this well in our current economy. Can you lose money if you invest it? I should be having every head. Absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to depress you. Some people just went one nod, just down. Just, oh man, yes. Yes, you can. You can, and that's no different then as it is today. Those first 2 people, they risked the man's money. That was a risk. He could have come back, and the one with 5 bags of gold could have said, I have 1. We don't have that scenario in the story. But nonetheless, the master still praises them. You put my money to work. The one that gets punished is the one that was inactive. Is the one that didn't do anything with the money, went and buried it. He didn't put it to work. He didn't have action. Matthew 28, very famous passage. When Jesus came to them, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, what? Therefore, go.
Are we?
Yep. He said, therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's write this down. God expects action and rejects inaction. Go. What? I gave you a bag of gold and you just sat on it? He's harsh. Go and read that parable. I just gave you little pieces of it. God expects action and rejects action. My actions testify of my relationship with God long before my mouth ever does. Actions make invisible faith visible. Actions are choices that are seen. Actions of faith reveal our trust and loyalty in God in ways that words will never be able to do. Remember to do your homework this week. And be reminded that we have a gospel that is a gospel of action. And praise God it is. Amen. And that an inactive response to the gospel of action is actively dismissing the nature of the gospel. None of us want to do that. Inaction is not neutral. It does have consequences. And God expects his people to be people of action. And he rejects inactivity. You can do it. I can do it. You can be a witness. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for the gospel of reconciliation that you've given to us, that you have made us your ambassadors as if you were making your appeal to the world through us. That is exactly what it is, Father. May we all be compelled by the love of your Son, Jesus, as Paul shares in that same passage. Father, help us to show our faith by our deeds, that our faith would not be dead, but that our faith would be active. Father, help us to put the things that you've given to us to work. Help us to recall and remember all the different stories of all the activity that we have had in our faith, and what a difference that's made between our relationship with you and us. Thank you for opening that door through your Son Jesus, that we could all come to you and receive forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we'd be able to be free, and that our loyalties would shift from our sin and ourself to you and your kingdom. Thank you so much for opening that door for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Christians, it's not difficult. It's just living your faith. It's just being real. It's just being authentic. It's just being a relationship with God and living like it. It's not rocket science. So let me encourage you. Let me exhort you to live your faith. Trust God. Be loyal to God. And we're going to see how those stories, how they're going to matter with our words next week. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, And you have witnessed God in your life. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And you say, you know what? I want to be baptized into Christ. I've never been immersed as a result of my own decision in Christ. This morning, if that's your decision, we want to offer an invitation to you so you could come and accept Jesus' invitation to receive forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're curious about that, let's get together. Let's talk. Because when we open scriptures and we look through some things about that, your eyes will be opened, I promise you. And you'll say, Kim remembers that day. It's just scripture. It's not because I'm a salesman. You know, it's just scripture. And you say, you know what, that is what I need to do. So if you're not quite there today and you want to learn more and ask more, then catch me. My email's in the bulletin. You can catch me after church. Call the office phone. My cell phone is attached to the office phone. If you listen to the whole message there in case of an emergency, yada, yada, that number's my number. So that is one of my favorite things in ministry is to share the gospel and the path to receiving the gospel with someone and getting a chance to see someone's eyes after they're baptized in Christ is still my favorite part of ministry. So I love that. Don't hesitate to get with me and talk about that. So if you're ready today, come forward. If you're not quite ready today, but you want to find out more, see me. Don't let the day go by without one of those two things if this is stirring in your head.